Hello, and welcome to a fresh episode of Not Crazy, But Far From Sane. I'm your host, Megan Bell. Hello, welcome. Thank you for listening. Let's check in real quick. I had a pretty great weekend. It was really chill. First weekend since school began that I really had zero plans planned for the weekend, which was very nice. So I stayed in, did some yard stuff, hung out with Keith, and just really relaxed, did some homework, and yeah, it was pretty chill. School's going well. I'm a B+ student in chemistry, and that makes me really happy because I've been terribly afraid of taking this course, and I'm surprising myself, so that's always really nice. But aside from that, yeah, I kind of wanted just to jump into the last note I had on my papers was talking about school, and I think I mentioned quite a few different times in these episodes, if I've mentioned something about school or me and my work environment, I've always said, oh, you know, I'll come back to that, or, you know, I'll talk about that another time. And I think now is probably the most appropriate time to just start from the beginning of my disdain for teachers, where that came from. Tito, you were supposed to stay on the bed while I did this. All right. He better not be a pain in the ass while I'm doing this today, right now, during the time I chose. He has to work around my schedule. Why doesn't he understand that? All right. So I have had some really, really great teachers in my life, and then I've brushed against people who are not so great as teachers. And my first and oldest memory was the librarian in elementary school. All right, let me just tell you this story. And this is where it kind of all unfolded for me. I guess just my lack of respect towards certain teachers if they didn't show me respect. And this might make more sense once I'm finished telling my story. I was really young. It was one of my first years of elementary school, so it had to have been first grade, right? I was very young. My parents had put me in, I don't know if this is probably not useful information for this, but for the sense of me having already opened my mouth about it, I'm going to finish my sentence. My parents had put me in Spanish immersion, which, if you're unfamiliar, that means that your entire class, everything you do is in Spanish. you learn everything in Spanish. I couldn't read in English until halfway through second grade, which is I was, you know, how old are you in second grade? Eight or something? Seven and a half, eight? Yeah. Anyway, I'm kind of getting off topic here. So keep in mind, I'm not a great reader at this point, all right? So going to the library and picking out a book isn't my favorite cup of tea either. I wasn't one of those kids who was super excited to go and do that. Same whenever the reading people would come, or the Scholastic Book Fair, whatever the hell that is. Same. The only reason I liked those was because I could just curl up in my sleeping bag or whatever they let you bring and basically just shut out everybody else in the class. I did not feel like I had fit in the class that I was in with these Spanish-speaking kids that were picking it up way, you know, quicker than I was. At least that's what it seems. That's what it always seems like when you're struggling in something, that everybody else tends to grasp it way better than you, even if that's not necessarily the case. But try explaining that to a 6 and 7 year old. So let me get back on topic here, even though I'm sure it's all all relative. We would be able to go to the library, you know. Okay, so as a class, you go to the library, I don't know how many times a week. I can't remember the schedule 24 years ago. But I remember that our library had this awesome treehouse right smack dab in the middle of it. Made out of all wood, very nice. You took all, this awesome, staircase to get up there. And they had all these different little nooks up once you got up in there that you could pick, you know, your little vibe to go curl up in a ball and read your book or not read your book, just to escape for the 20 minutes that you and your class are doing something different, right? And as a kid, it always seems like it takes forever for your turn to come, as it did for me. And I remember week after week after week going by and it obviously not being my turn, not getting a turn yet, and just, you know, never knowing what week is going to be my week. I don't know how they based the schedule off of it. Not sure. But it seemed like eternity before I could have a turn. like only like 3 students or 4 students out of the class per trip to the library got to go up to the in the treehouse. The other kids had to go, you know, find a little spot where the other peasants are sitting and not up in the treehouse, right? So week after week goes by, I finally, it's my turn to go up there. And they have very strict rules about how to get up there. Like, you know, they're like 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds. They have to be very specific about rules. And, you know, the way they talk to you about it is like, you know, it's a very big deal, right? You know, you use 2 hands when you're going up the elevator, whatever it's called, the ladder. And just, you know, I just always remember it being like a big deal. Like some kid would always fuck up and do it the wrong way and get in trouble or this, and they'd lose their privilege or however. And like, you know, you just, you pay attention, right? I wanted to make sure I went up the stairs the correct way and didn't go the wrong way. And, all right. So it's my turn to go up there. Whatever week I'm on, I get to go up there and I make it up there. I'm scooting around on my butt up there because that was another one of the rules. You couldn't walk while you were up there. You had to sit. You couldn't stand. So like, keep in mind all these rules, right? So I'm scooting backwards. Like I'm sitting on my ass and I'm pushing off of my, like the palms of my hands to move around right up there. While my hand presses on the spine of my book to where my book then, how can I describe this? My book then ends up turning like sideways or like what is that? Is that vertical? Yeah, I guess that's vertical. Turns vertical and falls straight down in between the planks of wood that are holding the fucking treehouse together. And the book falls all the way fucking down. Like, I can't fucking believe it. It was a big thing. She was like exclaiming, "Who threw their book down? Who threw their book down?" And I kept reiterating that I did not throw my book down. Once I made it down the fucking ladder, I want to call it an elevator so bad. Once I made it down the ladder and I kept telling her and showing her what I did, she did not believe me. She basically said that I was lying, that I lied. And I didn't fucking lie. I didn't lie. There's nothing to lie about. Why would I lie about that? That's so stupid. So if you can't tell, I'm still fired up about this. However many years later, she pisses me off because that has stuck with me. She probably has no idea how much she affected me, but that one fucking bitch calling me a liar from such an early age about something that has to do with like school or just being at school and just obviously away from your parents, anybody who has your back and is going to protect you. Nope. None of that. So that's my librarian story of, yeah, let me take a breath because I'll think about that sometimes. And that's really where my disdain for, I had a very short temper towards authority or teachers after that. And I swear that that's why, because I didn't lie about putting my book down a fucking treehouse. Like, why would I do that? It took me weeks to get up there and I fucking crab crawled like they teach you in fucking gym class. And the spine of my book fell through the fucking crack. Well, the whole book fell through the crack, but because I put my hand on the spine of my book and it flipped up in a way and fell perfectly down, like, God forbid that there'd be fucking accidents, right? So school was not my fucking favorite. I remember in first grade too, also trying, I learned what like crying wolf meant in first grade, because let's go back to that Spanish immersion shit. Obviously didn't like it in the sense of, I don't know, I just didn't like school. I had issues at home. I didn't really care about being at school. So I remember like trying to get out of class all the time in first grade and like wanting to go to the nurse and always just making up some shit that I had to go to the nurse for. Well, and then one day when I actually had like a bug bite that was irritating my skin, as bug bites tend to do, they wouldn't send me to the to the nurse. They were like, "No, you go every single day." And I was like showing them my leg. I was like, "But look, look." And then didn't matter. They were like, "No, you go every single day." And then I remember like learning the lesson of what crying wolf means. And I didn't cry wolf anymore because that karma sucked. I learned about that karma pretty early on. Let's see what other weird stories from when. Well, I was in Spanish immersion until middle of second grade because that teacher was horrendous. I went to the same school system like from kindergarten until I graduated high school. And that teacher, I don't know why that was relevant to tell you right then and there. But that teacher was fucking horrible. I remember, like, she used to make students, like, sit under their desk if they had gotten the question wrong, and she was just really, really awful. And I don't think I was the only kid who was took out of her class and then put into, you know, what we call regular classes. Like, I no longer did Spanish immersion. So I was then put into, like, English classes halfway through second grade, couldn't read in fucking English, so that's fun, being in a class. And then what do when you're in elementary school? Oh, you go around the room one by one and you each fucking read a paragraph, which was so annoying. I hate that they did that. Like, I understand that you have to make kids do that, but for fuck's sake, I just came out of a Spanish class. Like, I didn't know how to read in English. Really, I didn't. I struggled. So that was fun. And then my first real grade of elementary school that I had full, you know, the full school year to be with the same teacher was third grade. And that was my favorite year. I loved that teacher so much that I asked the principal of my elementary school if my third grade teacher could be my fourth grade teacher, because I just felt completely understood by her. I fucking loved her. Her name was Miss Doogie. She was amazing. I even went to go see her after I graduated high school. She remembered me, which felt fantastic as well. Yeah, school was not my favorite. And she really knew that. She, you know, she really worked with me on things. She knew my, like, home life situation and all those fun things. So I think she really empathized with me and was more patient with me. Yeah, so there's that. I'm trying to think of what else happened to me in elementary school that was, like, off the top of my head, like, weird. But, I mean, I always kind of struggled with teachers after that. I mean, nothing really in elementary. I mean, in elementary school, I don't think teachers really gave me shit too much, because you have the same teacher then for, like, the whole year, or you get, like, two teachers and one teacher teaches you these two or three subjects and the other teacher teaches you the other subjects. So I can't really remember. There wasn't many issues then. I mean, I did cheat on a test in fifth grade. It was so stupid too. If I had just read the answer choices, I would have got it fucking right. It still bothers me. But I remember asking this guy Xavier next to me what the answer was, and the teacher saw me, and I remember that the answer was, like, it was a pictograph was, like, the answer choice. Like, it showed up fucking picture of a pictograph, and the answer choices were, like, what is this? And if only I had fucking read it and not, like, thought that I didn't know the information. That's just it. A lot of this goes back to, like, I thought I was stupid, genuinely, like, didn't think I knew information. But I as I'm learning now, I'm still surprising myself. So but I don't know why that was relative, other than I'm just trying to, like, think of the big highlights from elementary school of, like, teacher drama. And that's really it. And then once we got to middle school, that was a whole can of worms, whole other can of worms, because I was then a teenager and definitely a little bit of a hellraiser then. But I can see both sides of it. Of course, I can see the annoyed teacher side, and then I can see my side where the teachers were fucking annoying. So, like, I remember being sent to the office one time in eighth grade because I had ran out of notebook paper. And then I just remember starting shit with the teacher and being like, this is ridiculous. You're really going to send me to the office and I'm going to have to call my dad in the middle of the day because I ran out of paper? And just, like, I don't know. I wasn't the kid to just, like, stay quiet. I definitely challenged teachers and things on different shit, especially if I had, like, obviously, like, a hard day at home or a hard evening at home. Like, there was also just different things going on in my life. I really didn't find what was going on at school to be of, like, great importance. Like, I really didn't give a shit. Like, I just talked back pretty frequently if I felt like they weren't on my side, let's just put it that way. And that's kind of how it felt at sometimes, you know. And then jumping forward to high school, there was a couple times I had ISS, in school suspension, if you're not familiar. One time I called to get one of my friends out of school, but I forgot to use, fucking idiot, I forgot to use *67, which is, like, a private call, or *69, whatever it is these days. And they knew that it was not that person's parent calling the office and that it was me. So I got in school suspension for that. And then I got it for something else, but that's, like, a dumbass story. It was, I yelled at somebody and I shouldn't have yelled at them in the hallway. And then I got ISS for it. But about teachers and stuff like that, I'm trying to think, like, there was one other teacher that I really got into it with, and she had called the whoever the hell is, like, the vice principal up to her classroom for me. And that one was because she said that I was putting on makeup in her class, and I wasn't. I was putting on Burt's Bees chapstick. So, yeah. These are kind of anticlimactic now that I'm saying them all out loud. But I also wasn't really the person to just stay quiet. When I should have, like, cool, she saw it as makeup, I didn't, and I was already, like, a pissed off teenager, so I was like, try me, bitch, and that's kind of what happened. It's not really that great, or, you know, it's just kind of gave me a voice in all different areas. Like, I'm not afraid to speak up, and I don't see anything wrong with that, except for in some cases, obviously, it's better to just stay quiet, and I'm definitely learning that now. But no, I think it all starting with the librarian and being called a liar. Like, I had a very short fuse for anybody who wanted to try me and piss me off. Like, I wasn't going to take it. Yeah, wasn't going to take their shit. Which has also trickled down into whenever I've had jobs, and I'm not silent then either. I have been called into the office a lot of times at different jobs for different reasons. And it's so frustrating because it's usually like about the same things. It's like, it comes down to my personality at the end of the day, to where it's like, it's almost like I just have to take myself out of those situations, which is, I've known for a while that I'm gonna have to be like self-employed and entrepreneur. Like, hell, that's why I'm kind of doing something like this. And hopefully it leads into more voice stuff. I don't do well with working with people trying to control me. I have a really big problem with control. If you hadn't got that from my, you know, story about the brief marriage and other things. And then there was just other things in my life where anytime I feel like somebody or something is trying to restrain me, I feel like the need to break away from that 10 times more. Tito, you're supposed to lay down. Come here. Can you sit? Hey, sit. We can go outside and play in a little bit. Yeah. I have a really big thing with control and, like, lack of respect. And I understand that when you're, you know, younger and you're growing up, people aren't going to respect you. But I've struggled with that even in my, like, in my 20s. Like, I didn't get a lot of respect from hardly anybody. It seemed like, whether it would be, Liam, please lay down. Whether it would be people in the apartment complex office, and I was, like, talking to them about, like, a concern I had. I never felt like I was took serious. Just different things in my life that overall, like, I look at now and I have to realize that it's not my problem. It's their problem, and the only thing I can control is how I react and how I respond and how I have handled situations in the past, you know, has worked for me then, and, like, I don't regret anything per se, but there's a lot of situations that now I would definitely handle different knowing the information I know. Like, I'm really trying, and I think I'm succeeding, I'd say, in not taking things personal from people, even if they're talking to you about something that's about you. Like, take it with a grain of salt in the sense of it's that person's problem. Like, really, if you think about it, it's their problem that they have with no matter what. So it's like, what good example could I give? But it'll probably come to me in a minute. I'm just saying it's a good reminder to remember that no matter what, even if it feels like it's about you or towards you, it's not. And it has nothing to do with you, really. It's everything to do with that other person. And that was something that was incredibly hard for me to understand. And I'm still, you know, trying to understand that. Keith and I ask our therapist that almost on a weekly basis, like, how can we not take XYZ personal from our partner? And, you know, she so often always tells us, you know, That's not their problem. Like, talking to either one of us. And it's a very interesting thing. And we're left there kind of stumped. Like, what do you mean? Like, but they said that to me. So, and she's like, it doesn't matter. And she just so quickly changes it and redirects that narrative to where, like, okay, that's not for you to worry about. That's their problem. And this is how you can then help them with that, or, you know, ask them, you know, what might you need right now to feel better, but that's not your problem to fix. So it's a very interesting concept, but I think with the amount of therapy I'm doing and the therapy that, you know, my partner's doing and us being in a relationship together, it's, how do I word this? It feels like no other like relationship or thing that I've been involved in ever, because it's two people who have their own issues, you know, their independent life, they're their own person, we have our own problems, and then we come together and we have a relationship. And then you have, you know, your own relationship issues. So we take those into therapy and work on that, but then we split up and we, you know, take our own individual shit into our own individual therapist and we work on that, and then we come back together and we do this group thing together for our relationship. I've never been in anything like that, and it is so rewarding. And this has only been like a thing for like probably 2 months consistently now, and it's so fucking cool. I just wanted to touch on that because we are doing therapy like almost weekly, or like if not it hits like the every other week mark, and I'm doing therapy every week for myself. He's going, you know, pretty much I think about the same. And it's so nice. Like it's, I used to call my friends all the time and, you know, and it's still good to use your friends as therapists too. Like my friends still know what's going on in my life, but not to the degree of always seeking answers from them or a solution or whatever. It's so comforting to build that relationship with somebody who's a professional in these specific fields. And I fucking love it. So I really wanted to share that because what I like to talk about is mental health. And I have really struggled with that through everything. I mean, school's a big trigger for me. You know, obviously, what else is a trigger for me? Just certain things. But right now, the main thing that I'm talking about and the focus we're thinking of right now is like school. I have had like a huge cloud over me about school from a very, very young age. And It's all coming together in a way where, like, it feels like I'm completing that step to then be able to, like, move on in life and, like, school will be done. I mean, because I don't think I want to go for my master's or anything until I'm, like, way fucking old. Like, I really want to just be done with school and get this degree, work, have a family, be able to have some nice fucking health insurance and, you know, yeah, make life just a little easier. That's kind of what Keith and I had always talked about before was, you know, with this, with me getting a degree and having that under my belt, it's like I'm just making my life better in a way where other things will just be a little bit easier. Like if I make more money, that'll just make things a little bit easier in my life in some regard. Like I can help take care of, you know, I get these type of headaches that are called cervicogenic headaches, which mean that they form in the base of my skull, and it really affects like I get headaches. So like they're knots that form at the base of my skull, and then it makes like my head throb. And I've known about those since 2017, and I do this thing called a ROSTI, which here they have them here. It's a ROSTI stands for Applied Integration Rapid Recovery of Soft Tissue Injury or something like that. A ROSTI. They have them not everywhere, but if you're in Texas, they do have them in Texas. And basically what they are is they're licensed chiropractors. You get an hour session. 30 minutes is them. The first 30 minutes is them working out like your, whatever your injury is. So like for me, it's like my neck and my shoulders, and they'll like massage out like these like knots that essentially like are causing my headache. Like as soon as she starts pushing on them, it literally activates my headache. And then she like pushes on this knot until it starts to dissipate and move. And then I swear my headache is gone. But that shit's expensive. If they take insurance, but if you've got shit insurance, it's still like $200 and something a visit. So Keith and I, when we had first met and I was going back to school, I had talked to him. I was like, look, I just want to get to a place where me being able to take care of my health is like affordable. Like it sucks that I know what my problems are, And the way to solve them is to, like, when they get to that point, because, like, I have all the tools at home now to prevent, you know, those knots from building up. But I really get them, too, from stress and tension. And sometimes that just happens after living a fucking day. So you can't really plan for that. And so the point being is I just want to get to a point where I can afford to take care of myself just at, like, a basic level where I'm not in, like, you know, debt trying to just care for my well-being. So that's where all this is going for school. Don't know why the fuck I just brought that up or how that came from. I think I was just tying that all together with wanting to take care of myself. But if you haven't heard of Arosti and if that sounds like something that you would like or benefit from, I highly recommend it. And I did cut myself off. The first 30 minutes of the session is them, like, working out whatever is causing your pain immediately. And then the second half of your session, 30 minutes, you do physical therapy in the next room with this, like, professional trained, however you want to fucking, I don't know all the fancy words to describe this, with a person who's going to give you, like, bands and stretch balls and show you how to do these moves at home to prevent this injury again and or, like, ease up on the pain. And then they have, like, your client portal that they create for you, so if you ever forget how to do these exercises, it's there for you. It's really awesome. I mean, it's really fucking great. Like I said, if you have insurance and your insurance isn't complete shit, it should be like $30 a visit. But if you're me and your insurance is shit, it's like $200 a visit. So my goal in life, one of my goals of how I know that, like, I'm more successful than I was before, was being able to go to Arosti and it not break my bank, because that's something that I've enjoyed doing since 2017, 2018, because my neck, this pain I had started, I really got this after my divorce and everything. I just held all of the tension in my neck and shoulders. It was so horrible. Like, I don't know how else to describe that. I'll just type cervicogenic headache and read what it says, but I'm pretty sure I nailed it. It says cervicogenic headache occurs when pain is referred from a specific source in the neck up to the head. This pain is commonly a steady ache or dull feeling. That's so true. Like, if it's dull, that means that pain's been there for, like, a while. And then if it's sharp, it means that pain is new. And rarely is it sharp. It's so fucking buried deep down there. It's so dull. I hate it. And then it says, oh, perfect. I forgot this symptom. That's the worst of it. symptoms are usually side locked. Like, literally, I remember telling Keith that I could not turn my head, like, over my right shoulder for the longest time. And then, like, I finally kept working on it. Like, I'm talking about over a year. Like, it would hurt. It would literally just stop. Like I'd try and turn my head to the right, and it would just send this, like, shooting pain up on the right side of my head. Like, sorry, we're not turning any further. And I just had to work that out. But if I had had, like, money to do that, easier would have been Arosti. But hey, how can we appreciate our successes if we don't remember where we came from? And inflicting pain on your head and neck is seriously one of the most unfortunate things to have to do, because, yeah, it hurts. What triggers cervicogenic headaches? It also can come from a fall, sports injury, whiplash. Well, I've had different car accidents. I think that explains it too. Yeah, you don't want to read further, because it's like, I don't have a tumor. And if I do, like, let's not look at that right now. So, yeah, I have been dealing with those type of headaches since back in 2017, 2018. And they really helped me at Arosti. Like, I was able to, yeah, they really helped me my pain. It's like, I can almost just stay quiet about it because they helped me so much that I'm a big believer in them. And yeah, I kind of went off on a big old tangent about them, but they're really, really great. And if you have more questions about them, please don't hesitate to reach out, because they genuinely help fix, like, my quality of life. So, yeah. I'm almost at the 30-minute mark, and I'm wondering if I want to keep going and find another topic in top of my head to just spit off, or if we're just going to keep it here, because I feel like this is good. I feel like I opened a lot of different worms with this episode. And I also realized that I haven't talked at all about my favorite music. I would like to just say that Kings of Leon is my favorite artist, my favorite band ever. I really felt like I needed to get that off my chest because after listening to these other episodes, I was like, how come I haven't talked about Kings of Leon at all? So yes, my favorite band since 2008. I actually heard, just as like a fun fact to end on, this was Labor Day weekend, and I learned that, I'm sure if you've, you know, if you know Kings of Leon, you're probably familiar with their most favorite, I mean, their most popular song, excuse me, Sex on Fire, right? Your mind's about to be blown. What I learned Labor Day weekend is that originally the song was called Set Us on Fire, like the lyrics. Yeah, I'll let that just sit for a second. Instead of like, I don't want to sing. There's nothing going on. Like in the background. Like, how can I do that? Like, no, there's no way I'm singing like this. But instead of saying Sex on Fire, it's Set Us on Fire. That's all I'm going to say because you can go and listen to it right now on your own. And instead of singing Sex on Fire during that lyric, sing Set Us on Fire. And it's pretty nuts. Set Us on Fire, Kings of Leon. I really didn't believe this person when they told me. And I then read this little thing on Google about it. And apparently, the song was supposed to have nothing to do with sex. Caleb Followell, the lead singer, he had wrote about it during a shoulder injury and he was taking like pain medication. He got a shoulder injury from like wrestling around and getting in a fight with one of his bandmates, who's his brother, which I thought was really interesting. And so while he was on pain medication, he was writing the song. And I think he was writing the song about his wife, who I think is Lily Aldridge. She's a model. I could be wrong. Is that her, Lily Aldridge? Kings of... If not, I got it wrong with another model. No, I'm right. Caleb Followell and Lily Aldridge, they're together. Anyway, I think he wrote the song for her, and the song wasn't really supposed to be about sex. And like somebody misheard them, the guy in like the recording studio or whatever the hell, whenever they were telling him the name of the song, he thought he said Sex on Fire instead of Set Us on Fire. So there's that for you. There's my fun little Kings of Leon fact. I hope you enjoyed my super random smorgasbord of me explaining my school stories that are from like, I don't know, not like, how do I, that's, I hope you enjoyed me telling you my school stories that have to do with teachers being assholes. All right, that's it. Thank you. Love you.